give you some context to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. This is the second example of subjecting to rightful authority in relationships. It's a topic that surfaced in chapter 5, verse 21, where we read, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Paul gave exhortation, we heard it last week from Jeff Kelly, concerning husbands and wives. And next comes children and parents, particularly fathers. Now, I want you to notice something in this passage, because it's not unique, but it's very important. Paul addresses children directly. Notice, children, obey your parents. They were part of the assembled church. They would be present when this letter was read to the congregation at Ephesus. And they were to pay attention to this letter. It's also a reminder to the church that we should be mindful of children in the assembly, and at times focus on them directly, as Paul does here. And listen, let's go a step further. When we consider that God is inspiring Paul, we must say that God is addressing children directly. So I'm trying to look at some of them. God is addressing you directly in this passage. So children, I have brought an object lesson for you. As I know, sometimes that helps you to be interested. We've used them in Boys Bible Club quite often. This is an umbrella. You can see that. I'm going to set it over here. We'll be using that in the message today. Later in the sermon, it'll help us to understand the importance of what God has to say to you in this passage. First of all, we see the Lord wants you to be obedient children. And let's talk about what children means here, the very first word, children. Because we tend to think, I'm not sure what you would picture adults in your mind as children. I guess I tend to think of my grandchildren. So the very young all the way up into elementary age. But in the sense of Ephesians 6:1, I believe biblically we could say you are a child until you have established your independence by getting married, or until your parents agree that you should be on your own. So a child off at college is not independent from his or her parents. Turning 18 doesn't mean you don't have to obey. It should mean that you are learning and have learned to make mature decisions. And the laws of our land will hold you more accountable for certain actions, but God doesn't define, listen, God doesn't define parental authority by age, but more by marriage, when you start your own home. Genesis 2:24, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother," and that's not talking just geographically, many times they still lived on the same property, especially in the Old Testament, those agrarian families. "But you leave the authority of mother and father, and you're joined to your wife. They become one flesh, a family before the Lord." So I want you to understand, older children, that this applies to you as well. Let's understand obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. To obey is to do what your parents say and what you know they would want. I can just hear kids say, "Well, you didn't tell me that." Well, did you know I would want that? So it's more than just the literal sentence that you heard them say. It's what you know they want, what you know they are seeking to convey to you, whether a specific instruction or generally in life. And the phrase "in the Lord" means that parents are rightful authorities in your life, and that to obey them is to obey the Lord. It doesn't mean that they have to be Christians. Well, my parents aren't in the Lord, so this verse doesn't apply. No, it doesn't mean that they have to be Christians or that this, and thus that this command doesn't apply. The exception to the rule of verse 1, Ephesians chapter 6, is if your parents are asking you to commit sin against the Lord. But no, if it's not sin, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It may not be what you want, and it may not be what you think is best, but unless it is overt sin, you are to obey your parents in the Lord. So children, you should see this command, you should see in this command that God is going to use your parents to shape your life. I'll give you an illustration of that. When I was experiencing, by God's grace, a call into ministry, my young heart wanted to start ministry. But I was in my junior year at Virginia Tech studying electrical engineering, which didn't have a lot to do with what I would end up doing. And I had opportunities to begin ministry in some different types of ministries. And I was seriously thinking about it in my heart because that's what I wanted to do. So I make the phone call. And yes, this is how you used to make phone calls. You'd hold, yeah, to my father and explain to him what God was doing in my heart, calling me into ministry. And my dad was very supportive of that. But my dad said, "You will finish school." My dad was right. And so that was an example of parental authority. He didn't say it just like that. He strongly encouraged me to finish school. And he had a vested interest in that. He had footed the bill for school. So by all means, God was using him in that instance to keep me on the right course, because it opened the door to seminary and eventually to come here. God will use your parents to shape your life, and you should see obedience to them as obedience to God, for this is right. Notice that at the end of at the end of the verse. This is God's will, is what that means. This is God's plan for how families should operate. It's God's plan for you, children, growing mature as a person and as a Christian. And it can help direct your life, as the illustration I gave showed. So hopefully, children can obey out of love, out of gratitude, out of respect for their parents, but especially, they must obey out of reverence for the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Understand the gravity of that. Yes, hopefully you have a good father who loves you. But even if that's not the case, and you understand the importance of walking as a believer, you obey your parents in the Lord out of reverence for him. So let's think about what this looks like. Let me just give you some examples of what it means to obey your parents in the Lord. It means to hear your parents. When mom, or especially we're thinking about dad here, speaks, but when parents speak, or stepmom, stepdad, stop what you're doing and listen. Proverbs 1:8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." So hear them is a part of obedience. Stop what you're doing. Listen. If you're away and they call you, give them the time of day. Respect your parents. Number two, respect your parents. Believe that what your parents have to say to you is important. Remember, in the Lord, it is important. The book of Proverbs shows three ways that you should respect your parents. With your heart, Proverbs 15:20, you have the references on the outline. "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." So from the heart, don't despise. Respect. With your eyes, Proverbs 30:17, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." What an alarming picture. Well, how important this is to God. God knows every time you roll your eyes, look away in disinterest, or have a look of stubborn refusal, towards your mom or your dad. And God is saying you will reap the consequences of that kind of attitude. Respect for your parents means with your words. Proverbs 20 and verse 20, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. So God notices how we speak to and of our parents. Thirdly, remember your parents. How do we obey? We hear, we respect, we remember our parents. Proverbs 6, 20 and 21, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck, so that when you are away from them, maybe just with other friends or maybe for a season of time, you will remember what they would say if they were there. And then, of course, we have to say obedience means obey. It means do what they say. Unless parents are asking you to sin, you should obey their word. It's not enough to know the instruction. It's not enough to simply remember the instruction. You must do what they have instructed. So actual obedience is how we define obey your parents in the Lord, to do it. And I would add to act immediately, not when I feel like it. The classic example is, oh, Dad, I'll do it later. No, the better way, the way that honors God in the Lord, is to act immediately. Obedience is something we should give at once to a parent, not later, not after you think about it, but now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, there's another action word that each of us should know, and that is the word honor. And I mean each of us, not just those still under the direction of their parents and authority of their parents, but each of us. We each must be practicing lifelong honor to our parents. Verse 2, honor your father and your mother. The word honor means heavy, weighty. To honor them then is to give weight to their words, give weight to their desire, give weight to their continuing place in your life. You hold that as important, one of the priorities. And so, yes, it would still mean that you listen to parents. For children, it means certainly to obey them and accept their discipline. It means making decisions that please them. But for all of life, it means to respect them in thoughts, words, our treatment. It means to stay in contact with them. It means to forgive them. Some of you have to deal with that. It means to take care of them as they grow older. Paul spoke of this to Timothy as he's speaking to a young pastor ministering in the church. He says in chapter 5, verse 4 of 1 Timothy, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. The issue there was the treatment of widows and the care of widows. And if widows had children, Paul is saying those children should step up to the plate and give care, give honor. So after we biblically leave our parents, we are still to honor them. That's for all of us. Look at God's promise, verse 2. Which is the first commandment with a promise. I think that means the first of the Ten Commandments given to Moses that had a specific promise connected to it, which Paul then quotes, verse 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so the promise is of a good life and a long life. This is because in a significant way, because God will use obedience and honor of parents to keep you on a better and safer path. Listen again to Proverbs chapter 6, this time verses 20 through 24. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline or the way of life. Listen, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. I remember my mother reading me scripture before bed from the book of Proverbs often. It was amazing how often in the book of Proverbs the evil woman comes up. And I want to say that's been ingrained in my mind. And I think it's been God's grace that I look away from evil women, you know, wherever they are. But I'm just saying, look at the or think of the passage again with me if you don't have it open. It's keeping you. Honoring, obeying is going to keep you from many of the difficulties in life. And so obedience to parents will keep you from the destruction of drugs, of alcohol, if you have good parents. It'll keep you from financial debt and ruin. It'll keep you from bad influences, from things that make life shorter and sadder. Now, certainly we know there are other factors in the counsel of God's will for each individual and that determine how long they are on his earth. But in general, obedience to and honor of parents will lead to a good and long life. And that's why I brought my umbrella. I think it pictures that. If you would think of the umbrella, the structure of it, and what it does as your parents' commands, and if you would think of things that the reason we would put up an umbrella, you know, rain, maybe sometimes wind, maybe sometimes the burning sun, certainly hail, harmful things, or at least things that are uncomfortable to us when it's weather, but in life we're thinking of those things that are harmful to us. So for an example, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, bad company corrupts good morals. Well, children, if you stay under the umbrella of your parents' commands, teachings, wishes, then you will be protected from many of the outside influences of life, because they will put you on a path, as Proverbs stated, to keep us away from evil. And so, as a child, what you would want to do is stay very close, to huddle under what you've been taught by your parents. I don't know visually how that looks on our camera, but for us in here, I think it's effective enough. I'll put it down there. We're going to keep thinking about it, and I'll pick it up again. We turn to responsible fathers, the second part of the outline. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul singles out fathers because of their headship in the home. We saw that last week in the passage. Mothers, of course, are involved in this as well. Let's look first at what fathers must avoid. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. The word translated provoke to anger means causing bitterness in their heart toward you. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. How might a father do this, exasperate, provoke to anger, cause bitterness? Well, let me give you some ways that indeed will cause this. A lack of consistent rules will do this, because children need stable lines, stable fences. They give security. And so someone, a parent, a father who would change what he says from one day to the next, or say one thing to one child and another thing to another child, inconsistent rules will cause difficulty. Destructive criticism will cause bitterness. Constantly picking on your children without acknowledging their efforts. Speaking harshly about your child's personhood rather than his behavior. Now, there are times to speak harshly about behavior, but about personhood, You need to make a distinction there. You're attacking, you're dealing with the behavior and continuing to love the person. Another way would be motivating. Fathers should avoid motivating through intimidation. Most fathers have been there, yelling, maybe even moving to using brute strength or threats. But motivating through intimidation will provoke your children to anger. Discipline without love. Leaving the last word of discipline an angry word rather than a loving word. Or rash discipline that doesn't fit the disobedience. And that usually happens because of anger in the father's heart. Punishing before understanding all the facts. However you do your little courtroom setting at home, no, you need to have a fair and just time of listening. Dads do. In another direction, overprotection. Failure to trust children, even when they've earned trust. And so there's a time when independent decisions need to be tested. Children need to learn how to do that and to honor you. And obey you. Another issue would be favoritism. Certainly this caused anger in the children of Jacob in the scripture as Joseph was given favoritism by his father Jacob. But favoritism in your household is going to cause difficulty among the children. Or if you compare them to other children, that's going to cause difficulty. Why can't you be more like? Neglect. Not taking time to know them and to love them will affect your child's heart in a negative way. Or living an inconsistent life in front of them. You should be seeking to teach them the ways of the Lord. Well, if they see inconsistency in you, it's going to hurt. Now, we're not going to be perfect, but when we are not perfect, we should confess it as sin. In the midst of whoever it has affected and in front of our children, that will do a powerful thing in their heart and not a damaging thing. So living an inconsistent life. And along with that, I just said it, but refusing to confess your own sin. One of the things about a Christian family that makes it a Christian family is that we admit our sins to one another. We confess them. We forgive our sins one to another. Christians do. I'm speaking scripturally about what we should do, of course, forgive. And we grow out of sins. Christian families should be, those three things should be evident. And certainly in your life with your children, those three things should be evident. Avoiding these kind of things that I've listed to you by God's grace will help your children want to obey rather than provoking them to anger against you. I'm going to say it again. We know as you're listening to these things, so much depends on the grace of God as well. I know that. I'll come back to that. What fathers must practice, verse 4. We looked at what they must avoid, what they must practice, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is the commitment God calls fathers to make for every child they bring into the world. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's the same word, bring them up, it's the same word as nourishes in chapter 5, 29. No husband hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. So the discipline and instruction of the Lord is the care that meets the true need of the child as he or she grows up. The discipline and instruction of the Lord is simply training according to God's revealed truth, the Bible. It is training about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It is training about ourselves and our responsibility before God. It is training about our others and our responsibility toward others. It is training in loving God and loving Jesus. And of course it is, along with that, pointing out sin, righteousness, judgment to come, and seeking to lead children to Christ as Lord and as Savior. It's personal application of God's revealed truth to the child's point of need and to the child's heart. In a world that is teaching self-gratification, in a world that is teaching you could have this truth or that truth, fathers, you must teach the importance of pleasing God rather than self. You must teach the importance of the truth that comes from the inspiration of God. You must present truth about God's character, the need of salvation, the provision for it in Jesus alone, the acceptance of salvation, the importance of the church, and the way to live a godly life. Fathers, your personal involvement is critical. Listen, the Sunday school program of the church is here, and you should utilize it. Church service is here. You should utilize it. You should be a part. You should assemble. The children's and youth opportunities that were listed earlier in our announcement time, they are essential helpers in the teaching of your children. But you are in a position to apply God's word personally to your son or daughter's life. You're the one who's given the command, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You're the one who's in view in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Listen, Pastor Matt and I, your Sunday school teachers, your youth workers, we're not there all the time. We support you in the work. And we help you to put the umbrella up, but you've got to put it up. You've got to give to your children the teaching and the discipline of the Lord. The command to obey and honor your parents is often the way that God will show you you've sinned against him. I know it was for me. It was the way that God showed me my sin against him was my disobedience to my parents. It's often the way God shows you you need to be forgiven in order to have a relationship with him and the promise of heaven. It's interesting that God lists disobedience to parents by name in a description of the sinfulness of man, a general description of man's sinfulness and waywardness in Romans chapter 1, that man is filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, full of evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Right along that same line, disobedience to parents, a sin that God will judge. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. What a blessing it is when children, awakened by God's grace, believe and come and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Dads and moms, generational discipleship is essential. Generational discipleship just means the next generation, by God's grace, coming to Christ and carrying on in the truth of Scripture and leading the church and the mission work in the world. Judges 2 and verse 10 gives us a warning. It's after the time of Joshua and the conquering of the promised land. And it said, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. One generation. One generation arose. And they are characterized by not knowing the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. So generational discipleship begins and continues in the home. I believe it always will. But you're not alone. And so hear me say that as well. The ministries of the church, the Sunday school, our worship service, Wednesday discipleship, Friday youth, Thank you, as I say that, for all that have been and are involved in those ministries. You are doing a great work for children as we support the work of parents in raising their children. But parents, you need to commit yourself to these works. They are there because we believe them to be important helps, important to bringing your children to Christ. Not the only thing. No, you sit with them when they sit and walk and so forth, as Deuteronomy 6 says. But these things are here to encourage you and to reinforce lessons that you are teaching them at home. So yes, have your children in Sunday school, by all means. Be a part of it yourself and continue to grow. Show that example to your children, dads, granddads, and then the other ministries of the church. We wouldn't have them if we did not think that they were important. We're not trying to fill time on a schedule. We're trying to disciple one another. And then I would say here, those things can be in place, but we have to remember so much depends on the grace of God. And so we pray. We pray for our children. And we pray that we and our children's children will trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we as dads, granddads, whatever, wherever you are, moms, grandmothers, or supporters from the side, knowing family members who are children growing up, we pray that we would have impact on this next generation. But here's God's design. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's how he is going to shape your life and protect your life. We're going to talk more about that tonight. This is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Well, Father, we bring before you the children of our church and all who would be defined that way by you. We do pray that they would, by your grace, be awakened to their need of salvation from sin, their need of righteousness that they cannot obtain on their own, their need of escape from your judgment to come for sin, and I pray that you would lead them to Christ. Help them to hear the gospel in this church and from the mouths of their fathers and mothers. And I pray, Father, that we would see encouraging harvest in the lives of our children of all ages as they come to Christ and profess Christ, are baptized, serve you in the church. We pray for that. And then I pray for fathers particularly as that instrument of discipleship, as that family design, critical to that family design that you have put in place. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray, Father, that they would find encouragement day by day in the scriptures. And whether it's children or grandchildren that we have impact on, that you would make those times fruitful. Help us to care. Help us to be present. Help us to be putting up the umbrella. Help us to be encouraging our children who are seeking to do that. Lord, we pray. We pray that we would take heed to this passage, that children would take heed, that fathers especially would take heed as well. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.